King James, Acts 4:12. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Listen to that now. This isn't my opinion. There's books, and you can go to YouTube, and they say there's many roads that can get you to God. I'm sorry, but those YouTubes are wrong. Those books that you may have read are wrong. This is the Word of God, which has stood the test of time. It's been proven. You know what the great thing is about Christmas? It means that God is faithful to His Word and to His promises. 4,000 years before Christmas, God said in Genesis, after Adam and Eve fell, 4,000 years before the birth of Christ, give or take, in the book of Genesis, God said after Adam and Eve fell, He spoke to Adam, spoke to Eve, then He spoke to Satan. And He said this, Satan. He said, the seed of a woman, she's going to give birth to a child. You're going to bruise his heel. He's going to crush your head. Christmas is all about the faithfulness of God, that He keeps His word. What He's promised in Genesis, every December 25th, we celebrate what He prophesied and said would come to pass. He's faithful to His word. So this is why, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Amen. You got to be saved. And to be saved, you got to believe on the name. You got to accept what God did through Jesus, His death, His burial, and His resurrection, that He did that. He's the only one who did that. And you got to believe that to be saved. And once you do that, all of what God is comes and lives inside of you and me. All that He is comes and lives inside of you and me. You know, people say, you know, I mean, that man has this anointing, and that man has that anointing. And that's, I understand what they're saying, but you know what? You're making yourself smaller by any time you say you have a man's anointing. Jesus said this, the Spirit of the Lord is upon you, and I've anointed you. How many know the anointing of God Almighty is greater than any anointing upon any man? No matter how great that anointing may be on that man, there's no other greater anointing than the anointing of God inside of you and me. And what's the good thing about that? He says it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. So anything that you and I will ever come across, it's never too much or never too big for the anointing of God in you to break that, conquer it, and get you set free of it, or cause that thing to just fall to the ground. There's a powerful anointing that God has given you and me because He comes and lives inside of you and me. I'm telling you, we need to believe in the One. It's all about Jesus. Let me tell you something. Read the Word of God no matter what. You say, well, man, I forget what I read. How many know this? I forgot what I ate last Thursday for dinner. But how many know? I do know this. It nourished me, and I'm thankful that I ate it. You may forget what the Word says, but you can take it to the bank. It's nourishing you and feeding you, even when you and I don't even know it. You know, I don't eat something, you know, go, that vitamin K, it's doing something inside of me. Vitamin K, ooh, thank you, Jesus. I'm going to just have faith for vitamin K. No, I don't have faith for anything like that. I just eat it and I know, hey, man, that's good. But I know my body is taking all the nutrients and everything it needs out of it. Your spirit is the same way. You take in the Word of God and you may not know it, honey, but it's strengthening you. When you don't even know, it's causing strength to you. And when the devil comes, you'll be able to fight against any demon that you face, any sickness, anything that you may face, because you have been made strong by the Word of God. Amen. A sure path to promotion. One of the things, you know, I just went a totally different way with this message. I could have gone a total bunch of ways with promotion. You know, God is in promotion. He wants to promote His people. You look through all the Old Testament, the great stories that we read, but in reality, it was God promoting. David, little shepherd boy, He was the youngest of his kids. He should not have been promoted. You always take the oldest, take the number one child, and that's the one who gets promoted. When Samuel went to all of the kids, one by one, no, this is not. And Samuel said, man, this must be the one. He must have been tall, good-looking, strong, handsome. He wasn't very big. But he was the one, and God promoted him. God takes the simple things in life. He takes people that should not be promoted, and he says, I'm promoting you. I'm taking you. This is the thing. You may say, well, I wish that could be me. It is you. You just don't know it. I have three kids. There's not one kid I go, I'm going to speak blessing to this one, and I don't know about this one, and you know, this one, okay. No. I speak blessing to all my kids, and I raise them up before God, and I say, they are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. They are being promoted because of you, Jesus. I take them all. How much more does our Heavenly Father do that with all of his kids, to everybody who believes in him? What does he do? He says, this is what I've destined you for. This is the problem. You know, because you hear people bring this up a lot. You know, like, well, if God is so good and God is so big, then why on earth is hell going on all around us? Why is there wars breaking out? Why does he allow this? And why is this going on? Why? And God, and then people get mad at God and get angry at God, cuss him out and everything. I mean, I've heard people cuss God out. And I go, okay. The big news is he can handle all of that. He doesn't get offended. God doesn't get offended. But this is the thing. If Elon Musk gave me one of those Tesla sports cars, I forgot what they were called, but they're over 100 grand. But if he gave me one of them, he says, Mike, here's the keys. It's yours. Totally 100% yours. And he walks away, and I take that thing, and I take it on the four-wheel drive trails up in the mountains of Colorado. And I just keep gunning in it, and you know, because it's got power. It's got power. You can just burn, you hear it just burning the gravel, throwing it up in the dirt. I mean, I would just be tearing that thing up. And then I have to haul it, get it a wrecker to haul it back to my house. And Elon Musk comes to visit. And I said, why? Why, Elon? Why did you allow this to happen? I can't believe this, Elon. Why did, he goes, what? Look at this car. How did you allow this to happen? And he, you know what he would say? I gave that to you. Why did you do that to that vehicle that I gave you? God has given us this planet. And he says, you're going to rule. You're going to reign. You're going to have dominion on this planet. It's your choice. I put everything on this planet for you. In Deuteronomy, he said, I've set blessing before you and I've set cursing before you. And this is the trick. You get to choose. And he even tells us which one to choose. In case some of you are a little bit on the non-intellectual side. Choose life. Choose life. And I'm going to give you a book, a manual to help you walk in this, to choose life so it will go well with you. So he gives us free choice. He gives us free choice. That's why there is a tree in the garden, the knowledge of good and evil. And he said, don't eat that tree. You know, some people say, why in the world did you put that tree? Well, it would have just been a lot better if you wouldn't have put that tree. Yeah, but then there would have been no choice. Love gives you a choice. Can you imagine if a man married a woman, beautiful woman, he had a mansion for her, but he says, you know, aren't you so beautiful, you're not going to be allowed to leave the house. You're not going to be allowed to spend money. You're not going to be allowed to drive my vehicles. You're not going to be allowed to do that. But, you know, I'm going to take care of you and everything, but you're going to stay in this house all the days of your life because I really don't trust you. You know, to be outside the house, you're so beautiful, and I don't trust you with my checkbook, and don't trust you with my cars. Just don't. I'm not going to go there. So I'm not going to give you any choice to mess up. I'm just going to keep you in the house. Would that be love? It would not be love. And the woman would go, I don't think so. There's no choice involved. True love says, I'm going to let you have the checkbook. Here's the keys to the house. Here's the keys to the car. I love you. And whatever I have is yours. You get to choose how you want to live life. That's love. God does the same thing with you and me. So you understand what's going on the planet? The reason there's crazy things going on, the reason there's wars, the reason there's all this stupid stuff going on is because man is making poor choices. Man is making poor choices. God says, this is the choices you should be making, but I'm not going to force you. Jonah and the whale, great story. It's not just the Sunday school story. It's a story of free choice. God said, okay. But thank God for his mercy, because he did give Jonah opportunity to think about his choice for 3 days inside of a fish. So he is heavily motivated to rethink, to rethink his choices. And you know what? When people sometimes, you know, they make some poor choices and they're at the bottom of the barrel, so to speak, and people say, God, why'd you allow me? Why did you do that? And God is going to say, no, you took the Tesla up in the woods. It's your fault. But this is the great thing. Even when you do that, God takes the Tesla and he doesn't just restore it. He makes it better than what it was. So he just, and then when you look at it, you go, how did you do that? I tore it up. That's the way God will do with your life and my life. You can make poor choice after poor choice. Anybody besides me make some poor choices? And I keep thinking, God, you're so merciful. Oh, are you going to keep being this merciful? Just curious. You're going to keep being this merciful too? He is. He does. It's because that's why the Bible says his mercies are new every single morning of your life. He never gets tired. He never gets tired of showing his kids mercy. He doesn't. So the next time, you know, when you are tempted to think, why God? Don't go down that road. It's a wrong road that'll take you to a destination that won't be good for you. It's not why God. It's like, okay, I don't understand everything that's going on in my life right now, but I do know one thing. You are for me. You are for me, and you want and desire nothing but promotion from me, for me. You want promotion for me. So I don't have much time, but I wanted to tackle this from a different viewpoint. It's not like what we can do to get promoted. It's looking at God and how faithful he is so that I am promoted. The faithfulness of God. The faithfulness of God is what I want to talk to you about just for a couple of minutes. The faithfulness of God, you look it up, and I heard Joyce Meyer said this. She says she really likes the 1828 Webster's Dictionary. So I looked it up online. It's really a dictionary that's, it has God in it more than any other dictionary. And it was when you could trust the dictionary, you know what I mean? It says this, the faithfulness of God means God is unchanging in his nature, true to his word, has promised salvation to his people, and will keep his promises forever. He is worthy of eternal trust no matter how unlikely his promises seem. Nothing in heaven or in earth can prevent God from accomplishing all that he has promised his people through Jesus Christ. This reliability of God should be a great source of comfort and strength for God's people as they repeatedly fail and go through trials and suffering. God is faithful. He is faithful. He cannot lie about his word. Faithful is an accurate description of who God is. He is trustworthy, reliable, dependable, and sure. He is who he says he is. You know, I've never been to Yellowstone. How many of you have been to Yellowstone? Man, quite a few of you. You seen Old Faithful? You have to go to see Old Faithful. If you go to Yellowstone, you have to see Old Faithful. And if I'm not mistaken, it gets its name because of just that. It's a geyser, and it's dependable. Once every 65 minutes, it shoots a stream of boiling water over 170 feet into the air. It's just faithful. It just keeps, you can just, there's things that God has put on the universe. You know, they can tell where stars were thousands of years ago. Thousands of years. I didn't know that till about 10 or 15 years ago. I didn't know that's the case. The stars and everything that orbits is precisely to the minute. Thousands of years ago, they knew where to start. They can pull up. This is what, if you looked up in Pueblo, Colorado, this 4,000 years ago, this is what the sky would look like. What? Didn't that just make your brain go tilt? Everything. Aren't you glad when God spoke? Listen to me. This is the importance of you and me speaking what you want to happen. This is the importance of you and I speaking. And I know you've heard messages about this, but we really don't do it. You got to do it. You got to speak what you want to happen. I'm so thankful that God doesn't, you know, he spoke the sun to come up in the east and it sets in the west. Did you know right before dawn, God doesn't stand up from his throne and go, all right, here we go again, son. I want you to start going. Come on, I need you to get up. Let's just start moving. God doesn't speak anything like that anymore. He said it once, and it is so, and it's been going on for thousands of years. The sun knows exactly what to do. The earth knows exactly what to do. The moon knows exactly what to do. It was only told once what to do, and it's been doing it for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. It keeps doing exactly what God said to do. The importance of believing His word. His word. I thought this, and this, I haven't put much thought into it, but I was thinking about this. You know the words that all of, like John, third book of John, there's only one chapter, verse 2, it says, beloved, I pray that you would prosper in health above everything else. I want you to prosper and be in health. All of the words that Jesus spoke physically when he was on this earth, all of the words that the disciples and the believers spoke when they were on this earth. This is, I just thought, let me just give you something to think about. Those words are still here on this earth. The words that you speak stay on this planet. And they're significant. This is why in the book of Proverbs it says to watch your tongue, you know, watch what you say. They're more powerful than what you think. The good news is, when you really start to believe in the power of your words, Jesus said this, the power, there is so much power in your words, if you truly believe that there's power in your words, that you can speak unto this mountain to be plucked up from here and cast into the sea. And Jesus said, it shall obey you. You and I are much more powerful than what we think. You and I are much more powerful than what the world thinks. You and I are much more powerful than what we've been taught. We have God's DNA in us. And listen to me. Because of that, listen to this. It should be part of our life to see miracles. We can make excuses. I've made excuses. We can all make excuses. But in reality, if we truly believe that we're created in the image of God, then supernatural things should be happening around us because of who is in us. Because of who is in us, the supernatural should be happening. Not only physical healing, but financial. Supernatural relationships, supernatural divine encounters. I mean, how supernatural is it for Peter to sit there and say, Jesus, you know, people are talking that you're not paying your taxes, so we need to pay our taxes. Jesus just said, go fish. First fish you catch, there's going to be a gold coin in. It's going to be enough to pay mine and your taxes. Done deal. I mean, that's to me, that's supernatural. It may not be to you, but I think that is supernatural. But it was just like a conversation with Peter. A problem presented itself. Jesus had the solution. A solution that nobody on this planet would have thought of. But then there was a woman who had an issue of blood. There is no guarantee that she probably could. She didn't have the word of God like you and I do. She didn't have the written word of God to say, you know, it says here, if you touch Jesus' hem of his garment, you're going to be made whole. But the Bible says this. She said within herself. She spoke to herself that when I touch the hem of his garment, I'm going to be made whole. She said something to herself. She spoke to herself, and the Bible says once she touched it. And then, you know, the devil's not going, listen to me, he's never going to just say, oh yeah, yeah, you go ahead and do that. No, honey, he's going to slap you upside the head. He's going to make it crowd. Don't let her touch the hem of his garment. Get more people in there. Just get crowded. And she, I mean, I can just see her getting on her hands and knees and squeezing through his garment. Oh, she reached down and touched it. And she was immediately healed. I just feel like I saw myself boxing. I boxed when I was a little kid. Hated it. Got hit in the nose with the glove one time. And I go, okay, I'm done. That hurt really bad. I hope it's not broken. But I mean, it was all fun when you're just hitting in the gut, hitting the chest, and you know, little blows on that. And that's especially when you get a blow, it's real fun. But then when that, this is what I know it happens. When you're boxing and you could be winning, and then you hit the guy, and it ticks him like in the nose, and there was someplace in the ear or something, and it just really makes him mad. What happens? He just starts pounding you and just really pushing you up against the corner and just beating the snot out of you. It's like you were winning, but you hit something or you did something that he thought, ooh, I don't like that. And so he retaliated. This is what I see Christians doing. Are you ready? You're believing God, standing on the word. And by standing on the word and then just faith rises in you, it's like the devil, like that guy getting hit in the nose or the ear. He just goes, oh, and then he just rips, oh man, he just lets it all out. He just lets it all out. Back pushes you in a corner. And that's the time where you and I have to lean on God and his grace to be able to push back. Most Christians, listen to me, most Christians, that's where the battle's lost. I'm believing God for this. And there was a woman who had a tumor, breast cancer. It's very painful. The doctor said, it's really bad, we're going to have to operate. But she stood on the word. She believed in what we're preaching today. The next day, pain doubled. She went into the doctor. He said, oh my goodness, this thing is almost twice as big as what it was. She had the opportunity to right there. I guess it didn't work. I don't have enough faith. Why, God? I was standing on your word. No, but she did the right thing. You know what she did? She went home, took the word of God and said, woo! The devil's mad. And I'm glad because I'm the healed of the Lord. This tumor inside of my breast, it's dissolving right now even as I speak. It cannot stay inside of me. My body is the temple of God. By his stripes, I am healed. Amen. And she said it again and again and again and again and again. And the pain got worse and it got worse and it got worse. How much pushback do you have? Or you do like most Christians, just drop your legs and go, oh, I can't handle it. And then the devil goes, oh, bam, bam, bam. And then you just get the snot beat out of you. No, that's the time to go, shh, is that your best shot? Because if that's your best shot, I got a lot more power inside of me. Where sin does abound, grace does much more abound. What does that mean? Where sickness abounds, healing does much more abound. Where lack and poverty abound, the prosperity and the power to get wealth is much more. Anything that the devil has, God has much more to not just counter it, but has already spoken it to existence that it is a defeated foe. So you have to believe that. So just know that. When the pain intensifies, don't go, oh, whew, you know what? I should yield to this and just, whew, I don't have the strength. I don't have the ability. That's right. You don't have the strength and you don't have the ability. That's when you got to look to God. Ty and Logan, I prayed that for you guys this week because I felt like you were in a boxing match and you'd just been getting your head beat in. That's the time when the Bible says this, a righteous man gets knocked down seven times. Is it seven times? Righteous man gets knocked down seven times, but he gets back up. And that term seven times just means this. It doesn't matter how many times you get knocked down. There is a grace inside you. You will not have the strength, but God will just lift you up and stand you up on your feet and say, you can do this. But it's not I that doeth it. It is Christ in me. Galatians 2:20. Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified in Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet it's not I that liveth, it is Christ in me. So therefore, I have the ability to stand. So you need to quit saying, I can't take anymore. You need to quit saying, I can't stand. I can't do this. You need to stand up and say, Christ in me, the hope of glory. I am more than a conqueror. I am victorious through what Jesus has done for me. Anything that comes and gets me, I have the grace to defeat it. Let's stand. Faithfulness of God. If you know how faithful He is to His word, it will cause you to be promoted. Promoted how? Promoted in receiving healing. Promoted in receiving finances. Promoting, I'm not just talking about a job, a better job. That too. But in every area of your life. In Habakkuk chapter 3, then toward the end of the chapter, he says, He makes my feet like hinds' feet. I don't know about you all, but I got about size 9.5 or 10. It's really not feet that can go climb those rock climbing guys. You ever seen those videos that just scare the snot out of you because you think they're climbing up things with their fingertips? I don't know if that's the wisest thing to do, but I mean, it's cool to watch. They do that. They've trained themselves the ability to go up a sheer cliff. It's just like the deer, or the mountain goats, the rams, the longhorn sheep. They have the ability to do that. And it's because that's the way God made their feet, that no other animal can do that, but they can do it because God made their feet that way. God says in Habakkuk chapter 3, He says, I've made your feet like those kind of feet to walk on my high places. Every believer has a high place, and listen to me, it's impossible for you and I to get there in the natural realm. I can't do it, God. That's just too big. I can't climb it. I just can't do it. And God says, I know. But I have the ability to take you there. What is He saying? There's ways in the spiritual realm that you can't possibly be promoted. But God says, I've made your feet like hinds. I've turned those size 10 shoes, feet, into the feet of a longhorn sheep, and I'll take those and you'll be able to climb now, but it won't be your ability, it'll be mine. Amen. Let me pray for you. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness, that you are faithful to your word. Let no man say that God lied about His word. But you said, let every man be a liar. Let every man that be a liar, who says that God can't do this or God didn't do that, because God's word is true. His promises are yes and amen. May we just totally trust you that you are faithful. and that we are being promoted not because of our own ability, because of the goodness of God. He is our Father. Thank you, Lord.